Moviegoers who see the new Wes Craven film, The Serpent and the Rainbow, may be surprised to learn the background of the actor who plays the sadistic head of the Haitian secret police. He's Zakes Mokhai, a black South African actor. In 1961, he and white South African Ethel Fugard gave the first interracial theater performance in South Africa. They performed Fugard's play, The Blood Knot. Breaking the racial barrier on stage changed Mokhai's life. It led to theater performances later that year in London. Since then, he's returned to South Africa only for two brief visits. Mokhai has lived in the United States since 1968. He's remained close friends with playwright Ethel Fugard. In fact, he's best known as the leading interpreter of Fugard's plays about the psychological costs of apartheid. In 1982, Mokhai won a Tony Award for his role in Fugard's Master Harold and the Boys. In 1986, he and Fugard performed together on Broadway in a 25th anniversary production of The Blood Knot. I spoke with Zakes Mokhai from the NPR Bureau in Los Angeles. He's currently featured in two films, Cry Freedom and The Serpent and the Rainbow. In his roles in Fugard's plays, Mokhai plays victims of apartheid, men who must repress their anger in front of whites. But in The Serpent and the Rainbow, he becomes the oppressor, the head of the secret police who zealously tortures his prisoners.
It's different in the sense that it's so far from what people are used to seeing me do, being the heavy and being nasty.
The heavy,
so,
yeah.
For an actor, I think that's it's fun doing that kind of role.
Now, this character that you play is a real sadist who enjoys torturing his prisoners. Now, I know that in South Africa, you were arrested many times, and you were probably in the hands of real sadists. Were you able to draw on those prison experiences?
Yeah, that was precisely why I was able to, because I know those characters. I know those people. I know what they do to you. Doing this role, I mean, I was able to draw from that. I've been able to draw from being in a cell, having to sit down and talk to these people, being interrogated, being beaten up, being tortured. So I was able to draw from that, yeah, sure.
How did it feel for you, who had been the victim in South Africa, to suddenly be playing the role of the oppressor, of the torturer?
Well, you do the role. I mean, one is an actor, so you're bound to play all sorts of different things, and you're able to draw from various experiences. So in that sense, I had put myself in one interrogator called Van der Merwe, who at one point or the other, you know, you always used to go past him, and he was a sadist. He enjoyed beating you up.
You said before that you understood something of how these kinds of sadists operate. What are some of the things you've come to understand about them?
Well, you know that they're sadists. They're merciless. They're very, very afraid. They enjoy to inflict pain on other people. That's their basic thing. I mean, when they put you in a room and get interrogated, or just put you in a room where they, you know, you're in solitary confinement, you know, and they enjoy that. You know, they enjoy to see you hanging. You know, have coffee.
In America, you've become best known for your stage roles and specifically for your performances and plays by Ethel Fugard. Are you trying to do more movie roles now? And is it more difficult to find good movie roles than it is to find good roles on the stage?
Yeah, I mean, what do you have in movie roles? It's kind of hard finding good roles in movies. You know, it's they don't have them all. Where basically, they don't write movies about, you know, they don't write a lot of movies about blacks playing romantic leads or just leads in terms of, you know, work. So you take what comes along. You know, I mean, how many movies has Sydney done, you know, as compared to Cary Grant?
I know black actors always complain about the Hollywood stereotyped roles that they are up for, roles like pimps and muggers and pushers. When you came to America and wanted to start breaking into black movies, I mean, when you started wanting to break into movies, did you feel like you had to get an understanding of what the black stereotypes were so that you could understand the roles?
It's by whose definition are we talking about stereotypes? You know, I came to America, I just wanted to act and stretch. So I experienced certain things and I saw certain things, and that, for me, that was it. It's just the stereotype they always write. I mean, it's like you have a movie being written and they need a doctor. They don't think in terms of a black person as a doctor, unless it's specifically written in the script that it's a black doctor. You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly, yeah.
And those are the problems that you're faced with. You say, well, I can be a lawyer, I can play a lawyer, I can play a doctor, but it has to be specific, it has to be written a black doctor or a black lawyer. So somebody else is defining those things for you.
My guest is actor Zakes Mokhai, and he's now co-starring in the film The Serpent and the Rainbow and is also featured in the film Cry Freedom. He's also well known in America for his interpretations of the plays of Athel Fugard. Now, you left South Africa, I guess, around 20 years ago.
Yeah, way back.
Growing up in South Africa, I know blacks were not allowed to act professionally. What kind of exposure, if any, when you were growing up, did you have to movies or theater?
Well, you know, you saw a lot of B-movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you went to the theater and saw a lot of, I saw a lot of Roy Rogers and Gene Autry and Durango Kid. You know, you see a lot of B-movies. That's about the only thing you go and see out there. You know, you can see halfway decent movies. I mean, something like In the Heat of the Night, Sidney Poitier and Rod Steiger, you wouldn't be able to see that in Southern Africa. So, you know, you're exposed to almost nothing. You know, I mean, it's hard. I got into acting, not because they had acting schools. They don't have acting schools. They still don't have acting schools. And you don't plan to be an actor as a black person growing inside. You don't plan to be nothing in South Africa, actually, as a black person. Because the government is always out there to stop you. The government is always out there to tell you, you can do that, you can do this, you can do that. So growing up in Southern Africa as a black kid, it's I don't know how you define it. I mean, it's just that the odds are stacked against you.
Now, I understand that in theater in South Africa that the roles of blacks were played by whites in blackface. Did you ever see any theater like that?
Well, I saw something like that in London when Olivia did Othello.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking that even though acting was not a legal or legitimate profession for blacks in South Africa, that blacks in South Africa probably had to learn how to act in order to get past tough situations with the authorities. In order
It's the thing of playing roles.
Right. Uh-huh.
You know how it's more about survival. You know, you see a cop coming around. You know he's going to ask you a pass. You know he's going to insult you. You know he's going to humiliate you. So you find a way of dealing with him before those things are inflicted upon you. So you do play those roles. You know, on the one hand, you say, I have a picture I'm going to be doing with Marlon Brando and Donald Sutherland. There's a scene where this character that I play is talking to this official, a cop at the airport. And he's very nice. He says all the right things. Yes, sir. Yes, boss. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. As soon as he turns his back, he says, bastard. And that's how it happens in Southern Africa. You just learn to survive.
In 1961, you and playwright Athel Fugard, who is white, became the first black and white actors to perform together on the same stage. And that created headlines in South Africa. How did you do it? I mean, if it's against the law, how were you able to... Was it in secret that you did it the first time?
Well, basically, I think my favorite phrase is that we caught them with their pants down. What happened was that, you know, we used to meet on Saturdays and talk theater or do little sketches here and there. And we had this play. So we rehearsed it without, you know, saying anything. just the two of us, and I was staying with Ethel, and which was only not legal, it was illegal. And, you know, invited a few friends on a Sunday night, because there's nothing happening in Southern Africa on Sunday night. Everybody goes to church, or so they say, but they never stop oppressing black people. So we invited a few friends on a Sunday night, and critics, and just the theater people, and they came and they saw it and they liked it. And they moved it into a little theater. And the government couldn't stop it, basically. But also it's basically because they said, well, they're just two bumps. What, you know, they're not causing any harm. So they let us do it.
You mean actors weren't perceived as being that dangerous a threat to the government?
Yeah, but by the time they found out, it was a bit late.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was getting out of the country. You know, there was so much publicity on the play that they couldn't do anything.
You know, I interviewed Ethel Fugard a couple of years ago, and he told me that when you and he used to travel together through South Africa, that you didn't want to carry your passbook, and that he used to frequently carry it for you because he was afraid of what would happen to you if you didn't carry
it. Yeah, but you see, he's white. I just, this was just a thing that I was doing on my own. I just refused to carry it.
Did you want him to carry it for you since you weren't
no,
carrying
I didn't. But each time I got arrested, he had to get me out. So he figured the best way to do it is for him to carry it. I just refused to carry my pass.
Yeah,
and I've been locked up for that a couple of times. So he's the one who used to carry it.
Another thing that he told me was that sometimes if you and he would get into trouble, as you easily could do for being a black and white traveling together, that he would play the role of the white Afrikaner, and he would say that you were his boy and that you were traveling with him. So you both really had to put on a show for the police, basically.
Yeah, you have to. But that's what I said earlier. It's survival, and it's, you know, that's the way you get along. Or that was the way you used to. It's kind of changed now.
How has it changed?
It's changed in terms of the kids are more prepared to die than go through all this stuff.
So people have gotten more radicalized.
I came out of Sharpeville. You see, these came out of 76. Sharpeville was, you know, that's why Mandela is in jail. You know, Sharpeville was still talking nonviolence, and you didn't have some people were shot. But now what we have here is that people are dying every day. And it's basically kids, you know, and the government has turned around to killing kids. So that in itself tells you something. I mean, they are more prepared to die than to play little games. The time for games has passed.
My guest is actor Zaix Mokai, who is now co-starring in the film The Serpent and the Rainbow. He's featured in the film Cry Freedom. He's a South African actor who left South Africa about 20 years ago, now lives in America. He's performed in many of Ethel Fugard's plays and has performed with Ethel Fugard as well. We're going to talk more after we take a short break. This is Fresh Air. Actor Zaix Mokai is my guest. Let me ask you, we were talking about traveling with playwright Ethel Fugard. You continued to work together after you left South Africa. He still lives in South Africa, but leaves frequently to produce his plays in America. When you started working with him outside of South Africa, and it was no longer illegal for you to work together, did it change the nature of your friendship and the nature of your working relationship?
No, I think our friendship is still it's still as tight as ever. I think even more so that we're getting a little bit older. No, I don't think so. It's we understand each other well. Working together, we know what the other one. What's expected of the other person. So, no, it hasn't. It's just actually just improved it and made it much more simpler and easier.
When you first left South Africa, you moved to England to perform The Blood Knot, a play by Ethel Fugard. Did you study acting in England while you were there?
Yeah, but that was after. When I got to England, I went on to do The Blood Knot, which we did in the West End, and did it for TV. And then I didn't have, then I did a couple of other things around the country, but television, mostly television stuff and a couple of plays. Then I just decided, actually John Schlesinger was the one. He said, well, you don't have anything to do. Why don't you go and see what they do in a, in an acting school? I said, yeah, sure. Seeing that I've never been in one. So I made applications to the Royal Academy. And I was shocked when I got accepted. So then I went, I stopped acting for a while, and then went out there to see what the hell they're doing. And that's how I got into it.
So you had really been an intuitive actor. You weren't able to study acting in South Africa since acting is illegal for blacks. What was it like to be exposed to this kind of training? Did you like it? Did you resist any of it, preferring to just stay into it?
No, I you know, there was actually it was more the technique. You know how you do things and you can't account for. It's like if I had to say a speech which had 25 lines without taking a break or a pause, I could do that, but I wouldn't tell you technically how I got there. It was more a gut thing. So when you go to work at the Royal Academy, then you find out technically how they do that kind of thing, that kind of a speech. So in that sense, yeah, I picked up quite a few things. And my stiff upper lip, I can speak English, I think, very well, I think, with an upper lip, rather proper.
When you left South Africa to go to England to perform in the Blood Knot, did you know that you would be leaving for good?
No. I had never planned to leave. It was never in my plans to leave South Africa. I went to London and worked. And then one day I just got mad and I packed and I went back home. And 3 days later I got a cable to say, can you come back? We have to do some TV work. So I went back to London. And that's when I stayed.
Since you never officially decided to leave South Africa, are you still going through a decision about whether or not you want to return?
No, I will return. At some point. It's not. There's no doubt in my mind that I will get back there. I just think that's the right thing to do. You know, like we've been talking about, they don't have this, they don't have that. Now here am I as an actor, having traveled and having worked, I feel that I need to go back and maybe start up an acting school. I'm sure there are lots of kids who are into acting, now that they know that you can actually make a living out of acting.
How able would you be to actually start an acting school if you went back to South Africa now?
I don't know. I'll just go and start it. Maybe what I do is to raise funds and just go and start a school. You see, if you think about stuff like that in Southern Africa, you'll never be able to do anything because the government can always jam you up. You know, you sit down and you say, well, I don't think, where am I going to open the school? I can't open up the school in town because the government is going to say, no, you can't have a black school in town. Then you say, well, let me go to a black area. Then the government said, no, we don't want a school in a black area because you're talking politics. So, you know, right there you're jammed. So the best thing to do is to just go ahead and do it.
Let me ask you, do you think that you could deal with having freedoms taken away after having left South Africa? Do you know, it must be so hard to return to a situation like that once you've gotten out of it.
I mean, well, you never really get completely out of it because you still have freedoms taken away from you in other parts of the world. You know, they might be different, but it's still the same. It's still the same. You know.
Do you feel like you're up against it?
You still have the same things. I mean, you have a president who says that's a tribal war. I mean, how do you deal with it?
Do you feel you're up against a different kind of racism in America?
Yeah, racism is racism. And, you know, it's just different. It's how they deal with you. I was in England, and in England, they just ignore you completely. They don't see you. I walk into a bar. I say to the man, can I have a beer? There are only two people in there. He just goes about his business. And I say, can I have a beer? He goes about his business. He ignores me completely. like he doesn't hear me, he doesn't see me. You know what's going to happen? I'm going to get mad, and I'm going to start calling him a bunch of dirty names. He is then going to call the police on me to say that I'm using abusive language, and that's racism. He just ignores you, and that's the way it is. That's the way it goes. So it's you know, in South Africa, it's brutal. It's there. You know it. You don't hide it. But why do you think we always have the problems whenever they have to vote or pass some kind of resolution on Southern Africa? The Western countries, the Western democracies, let's underline the word democracies, always refrain from punishing or from being very, very, very straightforward with South Africa. Because it's race.
When was the last time you went to South Africa?
I was out there in 82 for my father's funeral and my kid brother got hanged. So the thing is, the Western democracies ignore this. Now, if the whole thing was reversed, they would say the blacks were savages.
When you went back to South Africa, you said your kid brother got hanged?
Yeah.
What for?
Well, you know, he was involved with some stuff out there. And my father, I guess, he died of old age and heartbroken that they could hang somebody.
Did you catch up with friends who you had had as a child and as an adult?
Yeah, the ones that are left, most of them are dead or they're in jail. Which is where I would have been if I was still out there. I would have either been dead, I wouldn't have been here, or I'd have been in jail.
Dead from having gotten beaten up?
Yeah, I mean,
or
they
shot,
lock you up and you disappear.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of country we live in. Whenever you leave home, your mother doesn't know whether they're ever going to see you. You don't know if you're ever going to come back.
Do you ever feel... I don't know, I've heard some people who have left their countries, left a lot of oppression in their country, talk about how they feel a certain guilt for having gotten out, knowing that
they left other people behind. No, I don't feel guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Africans, South African blacks never feel guilt.
Mm-hmm.
There's no such word in our vocabulary. You're out there, I'm out here to do what I have to do, and they understand that. And they are out there. No, I don't feel that. I don't feel that. Are you saying that we should all feel guilty because that we have Mandela in prison?
No, I'm not saying you should feel guilty. I've just heard that expressed by other people, and I was wondering what your reaction was.
No. I don't feel that way, and I don't think most of the people I know in exile don't feel that. But it's something we never even talk about because it's just not there. Guilt is a Western concept.
And we Westerners have plenty of it.
You know, you always feel bad about something. You know, it's okay if you feel bad about something because you have done something bad, then fine. But, you know, for leaving the country, I can't feel guilty for leaving the country.
I want to ask you one last thing about acting. Are you trying to look for roles that you think have some kind of... larger kind of political or social type of
significance? I'm just looking for, give me a good role. I'm a ham, you see. I just like to act. So if you give me a good role, you just told me about Serpent and the Rainbow. I was just being a big ham. You know, say act. So yeah, I'll be a bad man. That's what it is. I don't think I specifically... Sure, it's nice to do a picture which has some kind of meaning, you know, which says something. Or you always try and make something out of a picture, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess playing the role in Serpent is just showing you how brutal that whole system is. You know, what happens when you ask anybody who's been put in solitary confinement, who's been beaten up. I mean, they know what it is. Why do you think people still get mad when you mention Hitler?
I haven't seen Cry Freedom yet. What kind of role do you have in that?
Well, I play the opposite. I play a priest. I'm sort of the guru. Mm. I I planned that, you know, where Woods escape with the manuscript and stuff like that. I'm a guru. It's a role that you'd like. I guess you're used to me playing those kind of roles. It's a straightforward role, a priest and, you know, a good-hearted man who's, you know, just trying to help.
I like it, you know, that as an actor it's sometimes more fun to play the heavy than the good guy probably, right?
Yeah, well, it depends, you know, the heavy, you have to, you know, if you're going to play a heavy, you have to be a heavy. You know, heavies don't, it doesn't work if you go halfway through. You know, it's, people say, how can you nail that guy's balls onto the chair? You know, I have to do that to show how bad or how brutal and vicious this whole thing is. You know, torture. Torture is a terrible thing. You know, they make you do strange things. You know, so you have to, you're playing a heavy, you have to bring all that up that, you know, people would sit and say, damn, that's real, you know, that's nasty. In its own way, people start thinking, you know, that's not the way we should be living. But we have those people who go around torturing people. I mean, it's their life. They sit and they enjoy it. So, I don't know. I think you just try and do something to a role. And hopefully it has some kind of meaning to somebody. Or somebody learns something out of it. Or gets something out of it.
Well, I look forward to seeing you in more roles. And I want to thank you very much for spending some time with us today. Thank you.
Thank you.
My guest has been actor Zakes Mokhai, who is now appearing in the films Cry Freedom and The Serpent and the Rainbow. He's also starred in many of Ethel Fugard's plays. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.